Thank you for tuning in for another day together as we discover who God is. And this week, as we prepare for Christmas, we are focused on John chapter 1 and verse 14. It reads, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." So that this is easily understood, I've split the sentence into four parts. These are, part 1, the Word became flesh. Part 2, dwelt among us. Part 3, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And finally, part 4 is full of grace and truth. Part 4 of John 1:14 is full of grace and truth. Yesterday we talked about part 1, and the Word became flesh. Jesus is the Word, and Jesus lived on earth in human flesh just like you and I. But Jesus did not use his flesh the way we use ours. I ended yesterday with a personal example of how I use my flesh to sin. With my physical body, I sin. But Jesus never sinned. He was without sin. He knew no sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Today, I want to start by telling you about the original Greek word used here for flesh. And the reason I want to introduce you to this word is because it pops up all over the place in the New Testament. You should become familiar with it. It's the word sarx. Sarx. S-A-R-X. Here is the key. Sometimes this word is used simply to describe a physical being. That is how it is used here in John 1 and verse 14. Other times, it is used to describe the moral sin of man. Of course, since sarx here describes Jesus, the writer John is only using it to mean that Jesus is a man, a physical, bodily being. But when this word is used to describe other people, like us, then the Bible applies the word used to describe moral sin, the immoral activity of the man and woman. Let me just give you an example so that you see this in the Bible. Galatians, another of the letters that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at a place called Galatia, says this, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality." That is Galatians 5:19. And the word therefore flesh in the original language of Greek is sarx. And notice how the flesh produces immorality, impurity, and sensuality. That's all sin. By the way, this has been the nature of the sin that we're reading about in the news these days. It's very hard to ignore the true stories of sexual assault, harassment, and other forms of immorality, impurity, and sensuality that's out of control in the sin-sick society. For decades now, the flesh of sinful men and women has been running completely out of control, and now it's all being exposed for the wretched sin that it is. Jesus never even once looked at a woman lustfully. Never. But the flesh of human beings is not only susceptible to sin, without the Holy Spirit reigning and ruling in our bodies, and without us disciplining ourselves into the submission to God, as the Spirit of God helps us, we too are not beyond living immoral, impure, and sensual lives. Lord, have mercy on us. I just wanted to start today by defining this word for you, flesh, as sarx, by contrasting how it is used to describe Jesus, who had no sin, with us, sinners. Jesus is like us in that he had a human body, but he is completely unlike us in that he did not use his flesh to sin. I hope you understand this crucial point, because now I want to move on to part 2 of our text. John 1, verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth." Part 1 is, the Word became flesh. Part 2 is, dwelt among us. Dwelt among us. What does this mean? This is best understood by way of an analogy, and the analogy is that of a tent. And the reason for this is simple. The form of the Greek verb for dwelt means to live in a tent. Literally, live in a tent among us. Now, I don't know about you, but I've never cared for the tent. Are you a camper? Is there almost nothing better for you than getting together your gear and hiking off into the woods, setting up your tent and bedding down for the night in the wild somewhere? As much as I love the woods and a good walk in the wild, out there where there are more wild critters and creatures than people, I must say that come nightfall, I want to be back in my own home and slipping under the covers in my warm bed. Oh, and I love a shower and soap and cleanliness. I do not envy you slinging your food up someplace where bears can't get to it, then slipping into your tent and zipping it up for the night. But I am jealous of how you'll wake up in the morning and step right outside into nature with the birds singing and the sun shining with all those trees around. What can I say? I want my wilderness and my own bed too. I want my cake and I want to eat it too. But that image of a tent among us is exactly what John means here in part two, dwelt among us. And this imagery comes right out of the Old Testament. If you are familiar with Exodus, then you know about the tent of meeting in the tabernacle that God instructed the Israelites to make for him. Let's read, for example, Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 to 35. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. We can say God tented with his people, and his presence filled the tabernacle. If we keep reading in the Old Testament, then we come to 1 Kings chapter 8 and verses 10 through 11. 1 Kings 8, 10 through 11 says, "It happened that when the priests came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." The house of the Lord is the temple, and the Lord's presence was in the cloud. Again, God tented with his people through the glory of his presence. And listen to this. I mean, talk about thrilling. In eternity and forever, God will tent with his people. John, the same man who wrote the gospel that we're studying today, also wrote this of the vision that Jesus gave him of heaven. Listen to the final book of the Bible, the Revelation of Jesus Christ, chapter 21, verses 3 to 4. Revelation 21, 3 to 4. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.'" And yes, the word dwell in verse 3 is the same word used in John 1 and verse 14. Dwelt means to live in a tent. And Jesus lived in a tent among men and women. Awesome. So let's combine parts 1 and 2 of our text. John 1:14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." Jesus became a man and lived in a tent among us. This is the message of Christmas. It's also interesting to me that the word dwelt means to live in a tent and not to live in a castle or mansion or even a home. A tent. Jesus gets down and dirty. Jesus gets right down and in with the people. Unlike me, Jesus needs no warm, soft bed and a power shower. How amazing is it that God in human flesh was born in a stinky, dank manger among animals, and he would grow up living all of his earthly days and nights as God in human form without a home? Jesus was a homeless man. The humility in his lowly birth and complete lack of worldly wealth is a powerful message to us. God is willing to come down out of the majesty of heaven and into our messy world, to live as a man, to die as our Savior, and to resurrect as our Lord, all because God is merciful. He wants to save us from our sin, the sins of immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Are you living in sin today? Nothing is more important than for you to know that Jesus Christ is ready and willing to forgive you of your sin. This Christmas, he invites you to tell him about your immorality, impurity, and sensuality. Be honest with Christ, because as God, he knows it all anyway. You have nothing to hide from him, and you can take it from me. As a man, I am a sinner. In my flesh, I have wrestled with the sins of the flesh. Anybody who tells you they haven't is simply lying. And we need someone to rescue us from our own flesh. This one is Jesus. Since Jesus is God, then Jesus has the authority to forgive you of every sin you have ever committed. Turn to Jesus today and write me, mark@markaswallow.com. mark@markaswallow.com. I want to pray for you, and I want to share with you some resources on how to believe in Jesus so that he can set you free from the prison of your flesh. If you feel that your flesh rules you, that it's out of control, please write to me today. I will not shame you or make you feel any worse than you probably already do. I simply want to offer you Christ. And then, come on back tomorrow as we continue to learn who God is.